This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Corinthians 14:23. The word says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or unlearned, he is convicted or convinced of all. He is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We want to talk for just a few minutes from this thought, and that is no time for self.
All right.
No time for self.
All right.
Father, we bless you today and thank you, Lord God, for right now, Lord God, for this day, this time, this moment in you, Father. We bless you today and thank you, Lord God, for the multitude of your blessings, Lord. Yes. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, for this day, Lord God, for this, Lord God, is a day that you have made. And we rejoice and are glad in it, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you will settle us now. And that, Father, Lord, that you will, Lord God, be glorified right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We lift this up and consecrate it to you. Speak that we may hear and know and obey to do that which is right according to your sight. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
No time for self. Mm. Amen. It is here that we find the Apostle Paul, just to kind of set an introduction, a background in this. You know, Paul had gotten these letters. Paul, while he was in jail, he would get these communications, these letters from different churches. And the Corinthian church was special for him. The Corinthian church was that church that it served to affirm, if you will, his apostleship.
All right.
The Corinthian church was dear to him because here Paul in Corinth, and this city was something else. It was something else. It was a city that had all kind of things going on, a port city, so there was always people coming in from all over the world, and you know the background. There was all kinds of houses of worship and all kinds of idol worship and all kind of things going on. I think they had the temple of Dinah or something there where they had the temple prostitutes and all that. And to show you again how powerful and awesome God is, he set the church up right next to the temple.
Yes, he did. Yeah, right next to it.
So the Corinthian church, there was a lot going on. You know, the women were excited, you know, about their newfound liberality in Christ.
Yes.
And their freedom in Christ, but yet the culture wasn't receiving that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Middle East today.
Yeah.
They didn't receive it then. They still ain't receiving it now.
Yeah.
Look at that relationship there. You know how women are treated as property. You know, and how even a man, I don't know how a man can do this, but how one can kill his own daughter.
Lord help.
Because she married the wrong somebody.
Yeah.
Was even thought to be in adultery. You know, and how they can call it honor killing, but just a mindset. I mean, that's the culture. I mean, you have to understand cultures, and you have to, it would be wise to understand cultures, because because that involves protocol. And wherever you go, there's protocol.
Yeah.
Wherever country you go, wherever city you go, wherever house you go, wherever you go, there's protocol in that area.
Yeah.
And wisdom would say to know and to understand what that protocol is.
Yeah.
Amen. Because when you know and understand what that protocol is, you can not only give honor, but you can get honor. Because you're demonstrating respect. You might not agree with it. It may be an utter reproach to you. But when you recognize it, right? When you recognize it, you can move through it. That's what Paul did. Paul recognized the protocol. He recognized the culture. He understood as a Roman. He understood as a Christian. Yeah. He understood as a Hebrew. He understood as a Pharisee. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win some to Christ Jesus.
Right. That's what he said.
And so here in this text, it seems that Paul was responding to a question that had come from the Corinthian church. Mm-hmm. And Paul was speaking specifically to the matter of corporate worship.
Yeah.
Corporate worship.
Yeah.
When we come together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk.
When we come together.
Right.
And you know the 13th chapter, where he talks about love, right? He moves on from love, and then in the first verse he says, follow after love, a charity, and desire spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Say gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. Now we tend to think prophesying is having the goat skin on and the belt on and the girdle on and being out in the wilderness and being spooky. I'm just being real, amen. We just tend to, prophets don't. We even go so much to say today that gift is doesn't exist anymore. But I beg to differ.
That's not true.
Yeah. And I won't go there to even try to defend. But I will lift for you what Paul set out to do in defining this matter of prophecy.
Yeah.
And we just keep reading. It's amazing how that if you have a question. Unto God. See, God don't mind your questions.
Right.
You just got to stick with him till he give you the answer.
Yeah.
You just stay with him. He don't mind your questions. There's no ignorant question with God. God won't upbraid you. He won't rebuke you. He won't talk about you. He won't put you down. You never hear God say, oh, you so stupid. You never hear God do that. God doesn't mind your questions. God doesn't mind you being angry at him. That's just a little sidebar. No charge for that one. It's a freebie. He don't mind you being angry at him. He don't mind you being mad at him. Y'all can fall out, but you gotta keep looking to him. You can't leave him. You can't walk away from him. You can't divorce him. You can't turn your back on him. Don't ever do that.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Like the commercials say, people do dumb things. But turning your back on Jesus don't have to be one of them.
All right.
No matter what, y'all, you got to stay with Jesus. You got to keep looking to him for the answers. And I found that in the word of God, if you're seeking him, if you're searching the scriptures, and you come across a thing and ask the Lord, what meaneth this? If you keep reading, he'll answer it. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 2. He said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh. Listen at this. Not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. However, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And this is why the theme of this is no time for self. Yeah. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men.
Yeah.
speaketh unto men. Well, how? Well, three things here. Here's another thing you observe in Scripture, that it's amazing how that the wisdom of God's word, since the affirmation of that which is sacred, or that which is divine, or that which is holy, seems to always come in threes. You'll find threes constantly weaved through Scripture, and that's a type of, a symbol of the Holy Trinity, which is the paramount thing. He said, but he that speaketh to edification.
Yeah.
Amen. To edify, to strengthen, to build up.
Yeah.
To fortify.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Fortify your spirit, man. Amen. To build up your faith.
Yeah.
Amen. And exhortation. Amen. Exhortation to pull from you, amen, and that which is in you, to exhort you, amen, to even go as far as provoking you, amen, to love, amen, when you don't want to go any further, amen, amen. The word of prophecy, it encourages you and exhorts you that you can go on a little more, amen, amen, amen. And then to comfort.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God that he's a God of all comfort. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Verse 5. Verse 4 and 5. Here's the essence. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Put a pin in that word, edify.
All right.
Yeah. But he that prophesieth edifieth who?
The church.
The church.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the church worship, corporate worship,
yeah,
ought to be deliberate and purposeful.
Yeah.
When we come together in the house of God, we ought to know why we've come, what we've come for.
Yeah. Right.
And that ought to be, first of all, to glorify God.
Yeah.
To worship him, to adore him,
yeah,
to love him, to extol him. Amen. Amen. And secondly, it ought to be to edify the church.
Yeah,
I wish I had somebody to do that. Amen. Amen. To edify the church.
Yeah.
Not yourself. It's no time for self-promotion. It's no time for self-aggrandizement. It's no time for self. It's never a time for self-will.
Yeah.
Amen. It's never a time for will worship. See, the problem today with the modern church is they have turned from worshiping God,
yeah,
to worshiping their own will.
Come on, sir.
It's no longer not my will, but thy will be done. Now the song is God, do what I need you to do.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, help me to fulfill my destiny, my purpose, my this, my that. I, me.
Yeah.
You hear it in the songs, you hear it in the testimony, you hear I, me. And if the 80s was the me generation, this generation is me and my friends generation. Everything today is me and my friends. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Look at me. Look what I can do. Me. I. There's no place for it in the church. The focus in the church is the body of Christ. It is to edify, to strengthen, to build up the church. And how is the church edified? My time is up already. Good God Almighty. Amen. What time is it? Amen. I done lost. Hallelujah. Amen. But listen at this theme that's echoing over and over. He that prophesies, verse 4, edifieth the church. Amen. Now look at verse 5. The last thing, verse 5b, is that the church may receive what? Edifying. Look at verse 12. Even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts. There's nothing wrong with wanting your spiritual. Every one of us need to know and to operate in our spiritual gifts. And I submit to you that there are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives the church. And there are gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ gives the church. You read over 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit gave gifts of faith, gifts of utterance, gifts of this and gifts of that. Yeah. You read over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, you see why Christ gave unto the church gifts.
Yeah.
Apostles, prophets, evangelists.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes, yeah.
Pastors and teachers, amen. So the church has been endowed with gifts from on high.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. And when these gifts, and so while you're zealous of your gifts, while you're seeking your gifts, seek, verse 12, 14, 12, that you may exhale to the edifying of the church. And let me just cut to the quick here, okay? Amen.
Cut to it.
How is the church edified? Well, I'm glad you asked. Amen. Because we read it in our text.
Yeah.
How is the church edified? If we are all together.
Yeah.
Amen. In the spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I love what Pastor Smith said. How that we need to learn. You said you felt the church needed to learn how to get drunk.
Yeah.
And we need to get intoxicated with the spirit.
When
we're in one of those moments.
Yeah.
Right. And we are being just overtaken by the Spirit. And we are just intoxicated by the Spirit.
Yeah.
If we know the order.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be conscious of the fact that, well, if I start speaking out in tongues, that's not glorifying. That's not edifying the church. Unless there's an interpreter.
Yeah.
Now, till we get to the point where we start operating in the gifts of interpretation,
then you
might want to hold your peace.
Yeah.
I'm not against speaking in tongues. I hear what Paul said. I speak in tongues as much as y'all do.
Yeah.
Amen. But there's a place.
Yeah.
And there's a focus.
Yeah.
What's the focus? The focus is, as our text, if the whole church be come together.
Listen.
Amen. And everybody speaking in tongues. If that brother come in off the street. Who the Holy Spirit has sought, the Holy Spirit has saw that New Zion Missionary Baptist Church has a heart toward him and that we are, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Let me tell you something, with all due respect, if you're ready for it,
listen.
And you got to search your heart, church, talking to New Zion, search your heart. If you're ready for it, the Holy Spirit will start sending souls in this place.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll start sending souls in this place. And if you would determine in your heart that I'm going to help and I'm going to minister to them, that they will stay in this place. You just lock the doors. You ain't going out this one. You ain't going out that one. And you ain't going out that one. If you go out, it ain't because of us.
All right.
Yeah.
I hear you.
If you make up in your mind, if that soul comes in here,
I hear you,
that's the soul that the Holy Spirit is sending.
Yeah.
You have stewardship. You have responsibility. You have a charge and an obligation to grow and to nurture, to encourage that soul till they come to the fullness of that of Jesus Christ.
Listen.
To help God gifts.
Yeah.
In that doing. And all he asks you to do is just love him.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Just love him.
Amen.
Just do good. If you can't do nothing else,
love him.
Do good to him.
Yeah.
It's the absence of good.
Yeah.
So make up in your mind, if you can't say something good, you can't say something at all.
Come on. That's it,
preacher. Yeah. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. And if it's not in your heart and if it's not in your spirit, you just stand out the way.
Right.
You can pray.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. You can behave yourself wise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Yeah. But if all prophesy, look at the text, verse 24. If all prophesy Now, so we know it ain't speaking in tongues. We just covered that base, right? So what is prophesying? It's speaking words of what? Of edification, of words of exhortation, and words of comfort. Yeah. Hey, you can do that. Yeah, everybody can do that, amen.
You don't have to be a preacher.
Yeah, amen. Thank you.
Say that, preacher.
And there come in one that believeth not. That the Holy Spirit draw me, or it's unlearned. Don't know nothing about the church. Don't know nothing about God.
Right.
But if the church, if we cooperatively set ourselves to deliberately, we plan worship from the call of worship to the benediction.
Yes.
Everything is geared toward edification, toward exhortation, toward comfort. Everything is geared toward winning that soul and making them disciples.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, amen. That soul will say, he will fall. The word says, and you can hang your faith on this. The word says,
the
promise is, is that he or she will fall under conviction. Come on, somebody. Will he is convicted or convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And you may not know him from Adam.
Right.
But if you got the, if we got the right heart,
yes,
if we got the right spirit, the right, if we got the right mindset, if we diligently and purposefully know and understand our stewardship, our charge, our dispensation as the church. Amen, amen. And deliberately do those things, amen, that tend, amen, to edification. Amen. Man, I'm telling you. You're going to have to hurry up and build that next building. Amen. We're going to be going from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Amen. We're going to work this one till we can't work it no more. Because the Holy Spirit will start drawing.
Yeah.
And when you start seeing that, you will be encouraged. You'll be saying, Pastor, amen, amen. Can let's go to the mall. Yeah, yeah, let's just go out. Pastor, get some tracks or something and stamp New Zion, and let's just go out and see what when you see the Holy Ghost moving. You know how it is now.
Yeah.
Amen. You know how it is now. The Spirit of the Lord is moving so mightily in this place. I don't know about you, but I've started to come here with expectation.
Yeah.
I have in my mind, and I'm coming here expecting, amen, to meet the Lord.
Yeah.
I have expectation. When I come here with a purpose.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not coming here out of a sense of duty. I'm not coming here out of a sense of this and that. I'm coming here because I love the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm coming here because I know God is in this house.
Yeah.
Amen. And I know that he has met us here. And if we keep on, he will meet us here.
Amen.
If we do what is right.
Amen.
In his sight. And look at this scripture. Verse 25. Look at the Holy Spirit. See the Holy Spirit in this thing now. Look at the Holy Spirit moving. Amen. Amen. Look at the Holy Spirit moving, church. And thus are the secrets of his heart.
Yeah.
Good God Almighty. The preacher stands and open the living word of God. Who is sharper than any two-edged sword. Who discern the heart, even the heart of man. When the spirit of God is moving and the unction of God is flowing. And the man of God, the woman of God stands and open the word of God. And began to preach the word of God unto edification and exhortation and comfort. Then the Holy Ghost starts interpreting that thing.
Yes,
it's amazing. You know, you got to trust the gospel preacher.
Yes,
you got to preach the word.
Yeah.
You got to preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
You got to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You got to preach Christ and him crucified. You got to preach the gospel of Jesus. Preach the word.
Yes,
that's the cure for disease.
Paul
said the time will come, and I assure you the time is here, when people will have itchy ears. When pastor search committees will go out and find somebody that will tickle their ears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord God Almighty. Amen. But the Holy Ghost gave the cure. And the cure is to preach the word.
That's it.
Let me get back to where I was. I'm getting off. So when the word of God goes forth, here in our text, then the Holy Ghost will take that word. Y'all know how he does. Y'all know how y'all leave out of here, man, talking about who told him my business. I told you not to tell nobody. And the preacher talking about this month, I didn't tell nobody. The Holy Ghost will take that word and he will interpret it into exactly what you need to hear.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's a powerful mystery
Hallelujah.
In the word of God. Amen. 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 It's in the text. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. Amen. And so falling down on his face. Yeah. Amen. He will. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Not worship self.
Yeah.
Not worship the pulpit.
Yeah, come on.
Not worship the table.
Come on. Come on here.
Not worship even the altar. Mm-hmm. Worship who?
The Lord.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's who he worships.
Not worship the house, the lights, the walls. But he'll worship. Isn't that the objective?
Yes. That's the objective. That's the aim and objective.
That's the aim. That's how the church
is
edified.
Yes.
Amen. Two things are done. God is glorified.
Yeah.
God is worshiped, and the church is edified. And he'll leave this place.
Yes, he will.
He'll leave this place.
Right.
It's in the text.
Uh-huh.
And he will report. He'll go back on military and Martin Luther King.
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody.
Yes, he will.
He'll go down to Lone Star. Is it too early?
It's in there.
Amen. And he will bring a report.
Yes, it's in there.
And listen to what he will say. He will say, of a truth, that God is in this house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You remember the woman that met Jesus at the well when she went back to town? What was her report? She said, of a truth, he told me all that was in my heart.
Yeah.
Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
yeah. Now, I hate to do this to you, but you're going to have to go do your homework now. My time is up. Amen. You're going to have to go now and search this for yourself. And then, church, you're going to have to, this is not to anybody in particular, but this is to the church, okay? This is to us as a body. See, we got to start looking at ourselves. We, you know, you are what you think. You behave, you conduct yourself according to how you see yourself.
All right, I hear you preaching.
Yeah. If you see yourself as this or that, that's how you're going to conduct yourself. So, church, if you see yourself literally as the body, corporately, if we can see ourselves as one in Christ Jesus, as the body of Jesus Christ, we will start behaving ourselves as one. And it's happening now. New Zion is happening right now. It takes work. It takes diligence. It takes discipline. It takes consistency. It takes all of those attributes. It takes time. It takes time. And I want and it's not my place to commend you because you don't belong to me. But it's just my observation. It's my observation. I believe I'm in order from the Lord. If I could commend you that. We are on the right track.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But listen, God is going to always challenge you. He's going to challenge us individually. He's going to challenge us collectively. Why? Because God always insists and requires that we grow.
That's right.
that we grow. God will never let you be stagnant. Amen. He'll never, if you were in him. Now, if you're in self, that's a whole different story. Amen. But listen, I got to go. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. And I shouldn't have did that. That's kind of a benediction. I shouldn't have did it. But I just wanted to bless you. I just wanted to bless you. This is by no means no benediction. Well, I wanted to preach that Sunday school lesson. I wanted to work at that thing. Woo! You better watch out. You better hold me back. I better go sit somewhere else because this Sunday school lesson is on it. Because the question is, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? You see, God will allow you that. What do you think? Who do you say that he is? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you. Roger!